Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here is the spot, I tell you, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp. Look at them. And the conversation is never dull. This is my favorite team of brains. I call it a brain summit, where we come together and have a conversation as a panel about current events. What is really happening in the world today? So here is Devray Kirkland. He is super heady, super smart in the world of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and all things HR related when it comes to that globally, not just internationally. We have Birgitta Granstrom. I don't know why I always stood on her name. And she is the founder of the Life Spider System. Very heady. Tell you how to get yourself together. We'll talk about that more later. And over there, my other love, that is Phil Bolander. Phil Bolander is coming to us from San Antonio, Texas, talking about two, diversity, equity, and inclusion, but from the LGBT plus perspective, because he knows about that. And me, I'm coming with an open mind. I'm trying to figure out how to get down with the pronouns. Brains, are you wondering what all of this he, she, her, they, we, what is all of that about and how important it is? People want to be included, or do they want to be excluded from the general, you know, scheme of things? It's different. Where did that come from? How is that impactful in the work environment today? Also, we're going to talk about critical race theory, because they just want to go in with an eraser and get rid of all of us. They don't want to teach our children about our history, our struggles, our successes, our inventions. It's wrong. And we're going to talk about some other stuff that I'm just going to pop into their brain. So help me welcome my team. Yay, everybody. Come on, y'all, get excited. Yay. Here we are on the edge. Guys, it's so wonderful to have you together again. We have great conversation. We chop it up like Ginsu knives. So there's a lot going on in the world. And so let's do a little brief introduction so everybody gets to know who you are. And then after that, I'm going to jump into it with both feet. How about that? So Phil, let's start with you. How do you show up in the world, King?
So thank you, April. I'm excited to be here once again. You're right. We do have some amazing conversations when we get together. So I live in San Antonio, as you mentioned. So I've had my own business now for 4 years, had a corporate career for 35 years before that. this subject that we're talking about is really important to me as somebody who came out in 1982, before we had anything about diversity, equity, inclusion, or pronouns. So I've got a long history of these kinds of conversations, and we'll see what comes out of it. Thank you.
All right. Birgitta Granstrom.
Yes.
What is happening?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a Swede in California, and I have dedicated my life to answer the two big questions: what is the meaning of your life, and why is people behaving as they do? And I think in the, on the topic today, I think my main goal is always is that every single individual have the right to be themselves, no matter what. I think to make it really, really short. So I'm grateful for being here today and see what's happening.
All right. Well, you know, you're right. Everybody deserves it, but they don't know their place in the world. Devray, another king on the throne. tell us how you show up in the world here.
Well, hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. And again, with my friends, and I do consider everyone on here my friend. We've had many wonderful conversations. I'm outside of Columbus, Ohio. I've been in the HR industry for over 25 years and been in the DE&I space for quite some time as well. I think the topic is relevant that we're talking about today, and it's meaningful. And I think if we can really dig into it deep enough to help create respect and kindness, it's something that will not only move organizations and people, but it can move society. So I'm excited to be here and have this conversation.
Well, me too. But I tell you, like I told y'all before, I was confused. I, you know, went from Miss to Mrs. and sometimes Ms. But now I had to figure out, was I a she, a her, a he, a we, all that good stuff. You know what I picked? I said our, they, and ours. That's inclusive of everybody, okay? I just really can't go there. So let's go back and dial back to DevRay. DevRay, I want you to, you gave an excellent description of what this looks like, pronouns. I want you to explain that to my brains, and then each one of us will chime in.
Sure, happy to start. I think the biggest thing when you think about pronouns really around this space of gender identity, it's respect. It's how people want to show up and how people want to be respected and addressed. And if we are really taking the time to want to make people feel included, or we want to make people feel like they belong, then take the time to understand the pronouns. It's almost like saying, I want to create a nickname for someone because their name is too hard for me to say. Learn to say their name, because that means they're being seen, that means they're being respected, and that means that you are taking the time to really provide a sense of you belong here, because I'm willing to take the time to do what's necessary. It's not always easy, like you said, April. Sometimes it can be challenging, but I think the biggest part of this is the effort that people put in to try to use the correct pronouns, because you could slip up, certainly, because we've all been conditioned throughout the time of society and what we've learned over the course of our lives, you can't slip up. But when you're really trying, I think you'll see that there's a lot of gratitude from the community in which you're trying to impact. And I think with that gratitude comes some latitude, meaning that people are willing to understand that you may mess up here or there, but your effort is in the right spot. So that's what I would tee us up with as we get started on this topic.
Well, you said latitude and I say attitude, okay? Because sometimes folks is going to have an attitude. You know, I don't know how you, what, you know, what your pronoun is until I ask you or till you offer it up. So please, people in the world out there, brains, allow us a little leverage to get used to this. It's different. Phil, I want you to explain the pronouns.
Okay. Excuse me. So as DevRay talked about, pronouns align with gender identity. So it's important for people to understand that the pronouns that are available more often than not are he, him, she, her, they, them. And one of the things that we talked about in talking about putting this together is pronouns and the use of pronouns is not limited to the LGBTQ community. So people of all walks of life, allies, all roles, they're using their pronouns. I think what DevRay said is 100% spot on. I like to talk in threes, and I like to use alliteration. Ask, if you do not understand or you have some type of internal blockage through bias or something else, ask. Ask what the person wants used. Affirm them by using it, and then accept them by continuing to make the effort to do it. So those would be the three A's I would offer up around pronouns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brigitte. Is this making us more inclusive or more exclusive? And what I mean by that, it's just another lane that we've opened up. People, again, like I said, are overly sensitive. You can't laugh. You can't make a joke. You can't make a mistake. You're going to be canceled by culture. What's your perspective on all of this?
I think this way to pronounce biggest what it will do is to create an awareness of people, especially if people are living in their own communities with lookalike people and they are not aware of the differences and how hurtful it can be for someone who not be respected for who they are, because people is not aware of all those different aspects from for us, I really think it's a learning curve. Because in the end, hopefully we get to a point we don't need any pronouns. We don't need those definitions of people because we see each individual as an individual, and there is no judgment behind it. But now when we are in a transition, I think it's a good way for people to learn who live in their own little box and is not aware of the differences and how much people really deserve the respect for who they are. And if this with pronouns and using them, if that really helps people to get the respect for themselves and they feel better, I think it's an interesting thing. It will change things, how people look at each other.
Well, it will, again, if you allow me some space, because again, people are really uptight about it. And this is not gender specific. Phil, tell us a little bit about how this bleeds over into every life, everyday life, and the things that we do, the choices that we make, how we interact with people, the assumptions we make, you know, because this is not just for the LGBTQ+ community, but they are the community that has leveled up and has brought it to everyone's attention.
Well, so thank you, April. I think there's a couple things at play. One, I'll just say it this way. The history of discrimination towards the LGBTQ community, this actually helps to counteract some of that. Because if you look at the history and sort of the movement towards having equal rights, and we're there when it comes to everything but the T on the LGBTQ. Because if you look out at what's going on right now, transgender people are the people that are under attack, and they don't even have to be adults anymore. In the state of Texas, they just passed a law that children are not allowed to play the sports of the gender they identify with. They have to play the sport of the gender that they were born with. So why are these pronouns important? They're important because, back to what Devray said, they have to be respected. And here's the thing, we didn't even get too far into it, right? Here's the thing. If you're walking around with your biases and your prejudices and your paradigms and you can't get your head wrapped around this, then look for the support to be able to help you to get to that place. Because the same as you get the respect, the LGBTQ community deserves respect as well. And again, all you have to do is look at what's happening with the trans community throughout this country. It's what the L and the G, the lesbians and the gays, went through 50 plus years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? It's what the Blacks have been through for the last 400 years.
I'm not going to argue that one.
Right, but I'm not comparing apples to oranges. Yep. But still, yep, as a community, and I'll say it, we have been slaves, yep, niggas, Negroes, yep, African-American, Blacks. Collectively, we have not come to a general consensus on how we want to be recognized. Yep. It's the flavor of the week, and it's annoying. People don't take you seriously when you continuously add all of this ... to the end of a conversation.
Okay. I apologize for interrupting. Here's the thing I'm going to say to you. It is never lost on me. I'm a white male wherever I am, and what comes towards me as a white male. And then when I start talking about other aspects of my life, then things start to change. So I think you're exactly right. I think people need, as my mom would say, they need to get their act together and start treating each other with the respect that each and every one of us have coming to us for no other reason other than being here.
And respect is subjective. It depends on, because some people don't care. It depends on where they are, but it's also used as a weapon, mm-hmm, to fight you with, like a switchblade. Oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I am a person that's transferring my gender from male to female or from female to male, and you didn't recognize that. That's opening up Pandora's box for a lot of workplace discrimination, for a lot of discrimination when it comes to equity and inclusion in colleges, certain jobs. What's your perspective on that, Devray?
I think that you're spot on that it changes a lot of perspectives, April. But I think one of the things that's really important to recognize here is that when you're going through and talking about, you know, folks, you know, that are transgender or folks that are identifying differently than their gender at birth, this is not a fly-by-night thing. This is something that for folks have been through serious and sometimes surgical procedures, other procedures to really make this in the minds of society, what I will call official, so that it is, they have taken necessary steps to make significant change to their person to identify the way in which they want to identify. So it's not like something like they just went out and bought a brand new pair of shoes and now I want you to say that I'm supporting Nike and I'm not supporting Reebok. This is a pretty significant thing that they've gone through. Many have gone through counseling and other efforts in order to ensure that their mindset is aligned properly so that they can function in the gender in which they're identifying with. So I think some of that is, and I know for folks that really don't understand it seems somewhat trivial, or in some cases it seems as if, well, I don't feel like I need to do that. Everyone was born a certain way, or everyone was born a certain way, but we all have the right. We say that America is a place where there is freedoms and people have the right to choose. This is a right, just like any other, that you have the right to choose to be identified how you want to identify. And we should be respectful of that choice. It's just because it may be challenging for us to understand why it is that way, that's okay. It's okay for it to be challenging. It's okay for it not to be easy, but it is still that person's right to be recognized the way that they want to be right. It's almost like a person that has a doctorate degree. They have the choice of being, you know, April Mahoney, PhD, or they could be Dr. April Mahoney. It's your choice. It's your degree. You've earned it. Now you have the right to be identified the way you want to. And I know doctors that have earned their PhD that if you don't call them Dr. So-and-so, they're upset about that.
Oh, yeah. Because they feelings.
Because they've earned it and they've earned that right. And that's a respectful thing. So I see this very much in the same similar vein. You don't know someone's a doctor unless they tell you they're a doctor, just like you don't know someone's pronoun unless they tell you what their pronouns are. But then once you know, it's like Maya Angelou says, once you know better, do better. This is our opportunity to do better.
Okay, so we're going to do better. What is it like in Sweden? I know you live in California now, but are they down with the pronouns? I read somewhere that pronouns were really established in Sweden, and they were brought to the forefront and brought to everybody's attention there. But you being a white woman, what does this look like to you?
I mean, I must say, I don't really know how it works in how this works in Sweden, but I can see a certain point you can think there is a big everything is equal, and
but okay, well, maybe let me dial back. Let me reframe that question. What is the social feelings overall, not every single Swede, about minorities, because again, you are all, you know, Caucasian, pretty much blonde hair, blue eyes, whatever, but then incorporating that, and then also the gay community and lesbian, because I know that there's some cute gay people in Sweden. So what does that look like over there?
It's still, they are pretty included, but the most of the Swedes is still a kind of a fear for what's different. So it's not that easy to be included if you are different outside the box. And that doesn't matter if you are gay or if you have an other kind of label. It's not that easy to get your place in society. And I think that's overall when we are talking about this, about different, you want to have a title. And this has also come to all minorities in the society. It's not easy to be respected for who you are, because it's better to try to adapt your to a certain frame that we call the normal. And I think it's more when it comes to what we're talking about now, it's more obvious because the group of people maybe are they have come together, they have a voice for it, but we also have other minority. So I think this is it's a bigger problem, what you said, April, about the attitude. and people's values, and people are afraid of what's different and what's unusual to them. They try to avoid because it's uncomfortable. And I think this can be an uncomfortable question to even bring up to the surface.
It is, and you love a word that I love, weird. This is weird. And you have a whole chat room about being weird. Yes. And being weird is cool, like being nerds. First it was, oh, I don't want to be a nerd. Now nerds are sexy. Being different, being unique. That is what life is about, brains. It is about being unique. We're all not made from the same pattern. It's not cookie cutter.
No, and I would say that to be the weird and the community I have right now, it's about to include everyone. So we have all kind of people from no matter what kind of label or he or she or him or whatever, and transgender, and from all places in the world. And what's beautiful to see when you have a community, when you allow everybody just to speak and be their voice, we have wonderful, beautiful conversation. So what we have among the weird ones, that's what I would love to see in the entire world, the respect for each and everyone. And when you have that community, you don't even have to use the pronouns because it comes naturally.
It comes naturally. And so let's talk about what else comes naturally. Who we are as people. When we came out the womb, we all came out unique. We all came out different. But now with this heightened sense of sensitivity, folks cannot laugh or make a joke or make an inference. You say one thing, they're ready to cancel you. Now, we talked about the transgender community. I just want to touch on that one more time. I watched the Dave Chappelle special. I gave my cohorts homework for them to watch it afterwards and report back. But let me tell you, if you listen to it, I mean, take off your judgment hat and listen to what he is saying. It is beautiful and it's empathetic. Yeah, it's funny as hell. Yes, it's rude. But comedy is like art, is like music, is subjective, and it is a form of creativity. And this is the way that he expressed it. People just get so hyper vigilant. You know, they'll say, oh my God, well, now Black Lives Matter. So everybody's on the Black Lives Matter bandwagon, or gluten-free or fat-free. Now everybody's on the gluten-free or fat-free bandwagon. But they're not listening. Devray, how can we open up our ears? How can we become better listeners to really hear when someone is trying to make an adjustment, when they're trying to make a statement without getting all, you know, getting your panties all in a bunch? For those that wear panties. And that could be anybody.
I think that one of the things that's really challenging is you have to be able to listen to understand instead of listening to respond. And I think there are a lot of people out there that just are listening to respond to what someone's saying. They're not listening to even what the question is. You know, I could tell you right now that if you're flying in the airport, and many of us have flown in the airport, and, you know, the person that takes your ticket and gets you all checked in and says, have a nice flight. And you say, you too. They're not going anywhere. They got another 8 hours of shift to work. But you say you too, because you're just listening to respond. You're not listening to understand. If they said have a nice flight, you would say thank you, have a nice day. But we say you too. It's almost that. And if you catch yourself doing that, that means you're not listening to understand. You're just listening to say something back. And so this is the type of thing that, and I agree with you, there are a lot of very sensitive topics right now all across the world on different topics and different aspects. But I think the one thing that adds to this level of sensitivity is the idea of discomfort. There are a lot of topics that are making people feel uncomfortable, whether it's because you are quote unquote on the right side or the wrong side, whatever you may be. But I think it's making people uncomfortable. And this discomfort that people are feeling is the thing that's having people act out in a manner which is usually not becoming of themselves, because they're not, because you're uncomfortable, you get defensive. Because you're uncomfortable shouldn't make you defensive. Because you are uncomfortable should make you want to listen more. It should make you dive in deeper. It should make you really spend more time educating yourself. We all have to become more educated, but not by social media. Do your own reading, do your own research, do your own understanding so that you can have a perspective and point of view that is one of your own, not one that's been given to you. So many people listen to the social media things that are put on social media, and then they take that as their own. But they really don't have their own personal point of view, or even why. Once you ask them, why do you believe that? Well, yeah, I saw it here, or I saw this video, or I saw this. You should have your own point of view. So do your research and be self-reflective, because where people are on this journey, we're not all in the same place. We didn't all start in the same place. And therefore, we're not going to address things in the same manner. That doesn't make your manner right or my manner wrong. It just makes it different, and it makes it your own. So therefore, we just have to have our own perspective. And I think if we can do that and self-educate ourselves and be self-reflective of understanding where we are, then we can continue to move this thing in a much more positive direction for society as a whole.
You know what? You shouldn't be in the position you are. You should be in the pulpit. Hallelujah. Preach and teach. Absolutely. Did y'all take notes, brains? Because you can rewind. Okay. Again, you have to listen, not to respond. You know, I mean, what would you say?
I say you have to listen to understand. You don't listen to just respond. You just got to listen to understand.
See, I couldn't even respond. I was so caught up in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Phil, you are taking on a new opportunity. You are going to be in the hot seat, right there at the forefront of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, but again, Deborah brought up a very, very interesting topic. So you're going to be filling these positions for people, for these corporations. You know, are you going to be filling them with diverse people? Are you going to be looking at people of color to head up boards, to represent your nonprofit organization? Are you going to hire a man to head up a woman's division? Are you going to handle, a transgender to work with children? Are you going to hire a gay vice president? Or a CEO, an openly gay person? Are these people really counting, or are they just a head count?
So it's interesting you bring this up, because I've been on several boards since I started my own business. I had a lot of time to become a board member for several different boards. And what I was struck by was the boards not representing the community at large and then speaking up about it. So it's interesting, because it is about having conversations. It is about pausing. It is about answering questions in such a way for people that they don't become defensive around it, that they can. I love what you said, Devray, because I'm a huge proponent of reflection. So you walk into a room, there's 30 people, they're on a board, and you look around and there's only two representations in the room. The rest of the community is not represented. So bringing it up and having conversation is how we get to the point where the next year the board starts to look different. And then the next year it looks even more different, and it's more representative of the overall community. I recently received a message from a friend of mine who is the president CEO of a very large nonprofit here. And they work with children. And so children through young adults. And she said, we need somebody on our board who's got corporate experience and LGBTQ. And she said, I want you on my board. So I'm thinking about it. The answer is probably going to be yes. So I love that I'm surrounded by people who do that. And I'm also excited about the fact that, again, in my career for 40 years being out, I'm the guy who had conversations with people who said they'd never met a gay person before. And their point of view, as Devray talked about, their point of view went from, I'm afraid of you, I don't understand you, I don't know, you know, what makes you tick, to, would you and your partner come to my son's wedding and be in the church with us? So these things are possible when people have conversations. And again, they listen. They listen with their heart. They listen with their head.
I don't understand what people are so afraid of. You know, how you bump your ugly, how you get out. You can represent as a heterosexual and still be weird, right, Brigitta?
Yes, and I will add, I mean, where we come down to it, when you said, how can you be become a better listening? How can you really get rid of the fear? Everything comes down to how well a person knows themselves. Because a person who knows who they are by themselves, they have their own integrity, they are curious, and they love to learn new things and invite what they haven't seen before. But the fear comes from their life is too tied up in a little box. And so awaken the curiosity about oneself. There is where to start. And we had something we can do while we are doing this, because we are attacking all these problems that's going on in the society from different perspective. But I think that's because that's where I am at. And every single person who get to know themselves, they get rid of the fears and then invite. They are okay. It's comfortable, because if you haven't met a Black person or a gay person or a transgender before, it's a total new thing. So we need also to understand where they come from, because it is scary with new things for most of the people who hasn't done this self-reflection. And so it's everybody, it's about the self-education.
I find it exciting and exotic.
Yeah. You
know, like when you eat a different piece of fruit or taste a different piece of pie.
Yeah.
You know, get into it, as they say. You got to get into it. Let's talk about critical race theory. We're going backwards, you know. What the hell? You're going to go in and just erase folks out of the, you know, history books, our contribution to society. And they're extracting this from schools. School is a place for learning. Mm-hmm. School is a place for knowledge. Travel. You know, are you going to go somewhere? Again, my husband was telling me, you know, when he was in the Navy, how he would get, you know, white boys from, you know, wherever. And they had never seen a Black person before. I know I went to China and they touched my hair as if it was like, you know, magic. Wow, this person is really different, but they were excited. This was a nuance. How do we bring excitement into this space and encourage people to say, you know what? I'm not afraid of this. And if I am, I'm going to feel the fear and do it anyway. What do you suggest, Evren?
Well, this one is, to me, as I think, is a very, very sensitive topic for a couple reasons. But let me just start at the very beginning with the idea of calling it critical race theory. When you think about the word critical, automatically it puts people on defense.
Right.
If I said April, we're going to do a critical hair theory, and I'm gonna invite you on to talk about critical hair. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be critical of my hair? You're going to be critical of people's hair that's not like me? Or you're going to be critical? The word critical automatically makes people feel defensive in the sense of just the tone of the word and how it even starts the conversation.
It's an ugly word in your lexicon.
Yeah, it makes it challenging, you know. But I would say that if from the standpoint of content wise, why don't we just teach comprehensive history? Because if we teach comprehensive history, that's all of the pieces. That's everything included, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's not take out the stuff because some people are going to feel upset about it, you know, or it's going to make people be divisive. We already have a divisive situation right now in the world. If you don't think the world is divided in multiple facets and in multiple situations, then I don't know where you've been living. But the world is divided. So if we can't even talk about a topic, how can you start to create a solution? You got to be able to talk about the problem to come up with a solution. But if you're getting hung up on the word that I call the problem, we can't even get to the problem because we caught up on the word that I'm using to describe the problem. So if we just said, hey, let's just teach comprehensive history, I'm okay with that. You don't have to call it critical race theory. Just teach comprehensive history, not something that's made up, but what factually happened, because we have data, we have proof, we have actual accounts of what has taken place. And don't leave it out because it doesn't suit you. Don't leave it out because it makes you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What we are trying to do is create a more leveled playing field, but you can only level the playing field if people are knowledgeable about how it is not level, because the playing field is not level. So in order to create a leveling, you have to first understand it's not level. And then two, you have to understand what has made it not level, over the course of time, and then continue to start to address that little by little. And there's going to be people on all sides of the coin. There's going to be people that aren't going to be happy because we're not moving fast enough. There's going to be people that feel, oh my gosh, we're moving light speed and I just can't take it. I'm saturated. Right. But then there's going to be some people that go, I don't even care about it because it doesn't impact me.
Right.
So we just have to be at a place where we are able to talk about a topic, whatever that topic may be, critical race theory or any other, talk about it openly, honestly, and objectively, and then figure out what we can do to try to move the needle forward, because that's what we have to figure out how to do.
Yeah.
Give me a second because I want to cut that out.
Just add, and I think it's what you're saying, and we bring in a topic, no matter what it is, we have to be allow people to even share their, what we call the, where we want to move away from, those with the prejudice and biases. We need to allow those people to express that, so we know so they are okay with the prejudice right now, because we can understand they have them for a certain reason, but they at least, if they can start to express, they will be understood and respected for that. We have easy, we can present a goal and future. We are moving in a direction for looking for a solution. And then we have to learn about the problem to find the right solution. So it's to include all the opinions, even no matter where they come from.
Exactly. And people are not allowing one another to dislike something.
No.
I can't stand Oprah until the day my mother died. she will say, I mean, you made some greens and some cornbread, baby. You gonna have some Oprah with mama? No, mama. I'm not gonna have no Oprah with you. Everything is not for everybody's plate.
No.
Everything is not palatable. And allow somebody that space. If someone came to me right now, and they have, oh, believe me, I don't really like Black people, but you're different. Now, me and Devray have heard that. Okay, well, no, I'm not different. If you only knew, I pull back these layers, I'm as Black as they come, okay? But instead of me being defensive, I'll say, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be your first. And open them to a new experience. Don't just jump on the defensive. It's a left-handed compliment. Or they'll say, oh, you colored people. I am colored. All this is colored. All this in front of you is colored. We're like the rainbow. Allow people to, you know, make mistakes, brains. It is absolutely okay. That's a part of the learning. That's a part of the learning. Phil, tell me about what's going on with, and I say this with love, the alphabet soup of the gay and lesbian community. LGBTQ+A, okay? And again, when it gets too cumbersome, people distract, they pull back. They go, you know, you're doing way too much. You're putting on too much extra. Explain that for me. And then also non-binary, because the kids don't want to be female or male. They just, you know, I just want to be. Explain that to us.
So let me, I'll do my best with this. So I'll take the second one first, which is the non-binary. Gender fluidity is a thing. It's a real thing now. And it's been around for a very long time. So it's not as though it's new. And what happens is people express themselves in ways that other people haven't experienced before. And so there's pushback to it. The reality is that I know a significant number of people directly and indirectly who at whatever age it is, you know, I have a friend who has a transgender son. I have adults, this whole thing around gender identity and where they want to be today and where they want to be tomorrow. It's back to what Devray said earlier. People don't understand everything that goes into these decisions that people make. It's almost as though back in the day, people used to say sexual preference versus sexual orientation. No one prefers to be gay and be murdered or harassed or discriminated against. It's the same with the transgender and the non-binary community. They don't choose to do that, to be murdered. They don't choose that to be discriminated against. It's their self-expression and they're looking for respect. And then the first one, again, I'm old enough to remember when there were only two letters, G and L. We were gay or we were lesbian. So we were the G and the L. And then as time went on, the letters started expanding. They started, you know, going beyond. I do really well to keep up with the LGBTQ. When we get into the I and the A and the questioning, then it gets a little fuzzy for me. And also too, I'll tell you, you know, talking about these initials, I also grew up at a time, meaning I was an adult out in the world, where queer was not something that you wanted to be called, and it did not get associated with anything that was positive. There were queer organizations that were protesting and pushing the movement forward. Now, when I talk to these young people who I have great conversations with, because they're interested in, you know, what this old guy has to say about 40 years of being out in his corporate career, and they throw around the word queer, and I'm like, you know, you reclaimed that word. And they're like, yeah, we heard that you old people didn't like that word back in the day. And I'm like, I know. That's exactly right. So I think that, again, it's about awareness, asking questions, getting clarity around it. It goes back to what Brigitte said that really gets at the core of it for me. People are afraid of what they don't know, and people are unwilling to be curious. It's interesting you said travel, because I wrote down here, travel is a passion of mine, and travel is probably one of the top three reasons that I show up the way that I do, because I've been in places all throughout the world where I had to be curious and experience being one among many.
Exactly. And when you move to these places, you immerse yourself in the culture. That's the last thing I pack. When I pack my suitcase, I'm going to a foreign country, is my American.
Yep. I do not want to go anywhere where the Americans are. In fact, really quickly, I was in India. I was in Mumbai. I told the driver where I wanted to go. I looked it up. It was a market. He would not take me to the market. So I said, drop me off. I knew I was close enough. I walked to the market. They found me, but I went to the market. When I got back to the hotel, the concierge gave me a talking to. I said, last time I checked, I'm an adult. I get to go where I want to go, when I want to go. Well, we only like you to go to the places that the tourists and Americans go. And I'm like, nope, that's not me. I'm not going to do it.
Well, when I went to Jamaica, you know, I'm there and I have a driver as well. And I see the Rastafarians having a festival. I'm ready to get out and get my reggae on. He goes, oh, no, no. He says, these are not the American Rastafarians. These are true Rastafarians. They were like in a trance almost. The whole vibe was different. He said, you will take pictures from the inside of your car. So assumptions, you know, you get to these places and I'm just going, you know, go. I was in China, going down one of these streets that looked like just like something in a Bruce Lee movie. People were throwing pans of water out into the street, but we were also followed.
Yes.
We were followed for a long time. And I asked my friend, I said, do you know how to fight? And she goes, no. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. You got to protect yourself. You know, you have to know, you can't just walk into any given situation. How did you feel, Brigitte, coming to the United States from Sweden?
At first, when I came here, I thought that I would see more likeness between Sweden and US. But what really surprised me was the biases or the for other countries, for India, for example. I met very high, well-educated people, and they thought that India was a third country. They had no idea. And this was actually a PhD labeled person. So I think we actually know more of the history of the American history in Sweden, because we are learning of all the countries. So that wasn't really a surprise to me. That people they don't know much about the world. So in that, the US is and kind of protected there. For most people, if you have traveled, it's a huge difference when you meet Americans who has been traveling, because they know about the world. Otherwise, and that's why you get, if you leave, it's a small community, even if the US is big. Mm-hmm. And what surprised me the most, it was this, what you call about the racist. Because to me, from my eyes, perspective in Sweden, you can see the US and there is a mix of people, and you have black people all over the place in the banks and in all professions, which you don't have in Sweden, actually, at least not when I moved out. It's rare that you see maybe a colored person on a higher position. And here in the US, you said, so it's just a few years and I really realized the racism that's going on in the US. So that was a surprise to me.
Well, it's one thing if you're not there. It's another thing that if you are here and you are ignored, yes, and you are denied opportunity and you are shunned and you are disrespected, or they assume, or you have to get legislation signed to wear your kinky hair in the workplace. Here in California of all places. You know, it's just stupidity. So, Devray, I want you to tighten it up for us and tell us, what should people look like in the corporate space, in the workspace? It's very delicate. You are dancing a very delicate dance because you could be opening yourself up for discrimination, unknowing, and then you're going to have the heckler. You're going to have the ignorant person that's going to do that, but you're going to have lawsuits. You're going to have, you know, in some situations, additional coverages in benefits because people are making this transition, you know, psychological or mental health, alcohol, drug abuse. What is this really doing to the workspace, the pronouns, and critical race theory?
Well, I think the workspace as a whole, I think it's continuing to change. I mean, you also have to throw in there 2 years of pandemic.
Right.
And what is that? And what is that doing to the workspace? I mean, we see a lot of changes, and what people used to know as the normal is not what we're going to come back to. It's not going to be, once we get back into some semblance, what I would call of normalcy, it won't be the same as it once was 2.5-3 years ago.
Yep.
The other thing that I think is also going to be interesting about that is, when you're going to work for a company, you should do your research on their culture. And you should understand what the culture is like that you're going into. It's one thing to go in and say, you know, I need to swim upstream and do things differently. I'm going to be a groundbreaker. I'm going to do something that's going to, you know, be, you know, ground changing. But that, if only if that's going to be the culture that's going to persist moving forward, is that they want groundbreakers and they want things to change.
Right.
Are you going to be able to be successful? If not, you're going to be going in and banging your head up against the wall and just coming home bludgeoned every night, which is not a thing that I would recommend. I also think that there are a lot of organizations that are trying to make changes and just don't know where to start. And that makes it difficult. Large or small organizations, it doesn't matter. There's two sides of that, is I think we are all individuals and we all bring, you know, who we are to work each and every day. You just, the things that are happening out in society that are impacting you, your family members, your friends, you don't just tuck that away when you go into the office or when you go into work. It's part of who you are. So we have to be able to understand that and unpack that in a way that we can continue to help and be supportive. You know, we have a lot of people in the organization. If you want to wear your hair a certain way, you want to have tattoos exposed and things of that nature, things that when my dad was in the work world weren't going to be things that would be widely accepted. Now they are even more accepted than they were in the past. Now there's still going to be people that are going to be different and see things differently. You know, we've got about 5 generations of people, you know, with the baby boomers quickly, you know, fading out, but we have about 5 generations of individuals still in the workforce that are going to see things totally different. You know, we've got truly digital natives that are among us, folks that have never not had digital media. I mean, back in the day, our grandparents, you know, they still had to deal with a handshake. It wasn't a tweet and it wasn't a text. So it's very different as to how we see the world and how we start to go through it. But I think the key will be trying to understand what makes people comfortable. Because when people are comfortable, they're optimized, their productivity is maximized, and they're able to give you more of who they are each and every day on a consistent basis, because everyone's carrying a heavy load. The only thing that's different is how you carry it. The load doesn't get lighter. It's just how you carry it. And then, can you carry it in a sustainable way that allows you to be at your best for the majority of time in which you're doing the work?
Well, let me tell you, you three have put in the work, and I thank you so much. Super heady, super smart. I'm going to go around one last time and just ask your closing thoughts and how you want to be memorialized, you know, in this big world, because the end is going to come. But what do you want people to think about you, say about you, and what is the impact that you plan to leave on the planet? Brigitte, you first.
Oh, I want probably to be remembered for the light spider that was the vehicle that took people into the new society and what to add today, where everyone is equal, everyone know themselves, everyone is secure. And so I think that's one, at least one thing I want to be remembered for.
Well, you do a heck of a job. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Okay, the easiest way is to go to lifespideracademy.com and you'll find tons of material for you, where to start and how you can move on. to find a deeper self of you and be curious about what's going on in the world and meet all the beautiful diversity of all people we have around us.
And if you admit that you're weird, you get moved to the head of the line.
Yeah, and just a little tiny thing. I would say this way, when we're talking about words have an energy charge in different yes. way. And yes. weird is one of those words. So when we say weird, we think it's someone is awkward and absolutely, totally crazy. But from the beginning, the word, if you look up it in the dictionary, it means the power to control destiny. And everything started when Shakespeare used it in with the three sisters and called them witches. And then, so sometimes we have to take charge and reclaim the right meaning of different word or create a new recharge the word we are using.
Beautiful, beautiful. Phil Bolander, I want to know how you are going to leave your footprint on this planet. And how can people in the LGBTQ society lighten up on us heterosexuals and allow us some space to make some mistakes and not just want to cancel us altogether and work with us in this learning curve?
Yes, of course. So I mentioned to you earlier, I like threes and I like alliteration. So for me, the legacy that I want to leave, and I've been thinking about this a lot since my mom passed away. I want to be known as somebody who is courageous. I want people to think of all the courage that I demonstrated. I want people to think about how compassionate I was, how loving and caring I was for other people. And then I think the most important thing is changing, continuing to evolve and transform and take on new information and sort of iteration number, I don't even know what, right? Just keep iterating in new ways. And yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
Well, that's wonderful. And you are a very accomplished author. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. We want to pick up one of those three books. When I knew he didn't have one, brains, now he got three. He's doing the most.
So not to correct you, April, the seventh book will be out on
my door.
Yeah, the seventh book will be out on Friday. It's going to go into pre-sales, wow. And it's a story I wrote with my mom. So it's my tribute to my mom, and it comes out on Friday. So the best way to find me is on LinkedIn or Facebook. Just use my name. I'm there, and you can get all kinds of information on me there. So thank you. And again, seven with the eighth one coming out in January.
Well, go on. I have been checked. Speaking of check.
I missed a few too there in between.
I know. Where were we at? And Devray, talking about checking the boxes. There's a lot of boxes to be checked. You know, who am I? First, self-discovery. That's what I want people to do first. Then after that, how do you deliver that to the world? What is your response and how the world receives it?
It's tough. It's a tough question. But I think the biggest thing is if I'm thinking about what I want people to say about me is that, you know, he was a very intentional leader that wasn't afraid to break glass and then walk through that glass for the greater good of those, not himself. I want to be selfless. I want to be a person who is really focused on impact and not just activity. But at the end of the day is, have you been able to help change lives for the greater good? And if you have, then I think you've been successful. Success is not managed all the time and measured all the time in monetary gifts. Sometimes it's just an impact in which you have in people's lives. And I think that's an important piece. We've talked about a lot of very heady topics, you know, in our session today, which I think, you know, we could continue on with. So maybe there's a part two down the line. But I would tell you that I think there are a lot of folks that, you know, lean into this discomfort that you're feeling, lean into it, learn from it, evolve from it. Because I think as we start to continue to grow and continue to, you know, as you get uncomfortable and you feel, you know, that it's like, ooh, this is a lot, lean in a little bit more. Because we're kind of like a rubber band. And as we stretch it and continue to stretch it, it never goes back to as tight as it once was. It continues to be more and more stretched. So that is something that I think that we should all be continuing to try to do. Be lifelong learners. Continue to learn. There's so much in the world for us to be able to take in. And we've only seen, you know, small components and portions of it, even those that have traveled the globe. So I think if we're able to do that, I think that's going to be an important piece. And for all of those, you know, organizations and companies out there that are continuing to try to do some of this work, and you're focusing on representation, representation is not the only thing that matters. It's where that representation sits in your organization is what matters. If they're all sitting at the lower levels in your organization and none of them are sitting at the upper levels in the organization, then that's not where it's at. You just got people there. And right. Now, of course, in order to include those people, you have to have those people. You can't include what you don't have, but you do need to see a sense of where people are matriculating, how their careers are growing, and how they can make an impact in your organization at different levels. Because if your goal is to grow your business, if your goal is to continue to try to service the population is everybody. So I don't know how you could have the thoughts of everybody if you don't have a company that contains everybody.
Mm-mm-mm. Everybody need to be sitting at the table. And me, yes. How do I want to be memorialized? As a force and an influencer and an impactor. When it comes to communication and delivering the word, I want people to see, hear, think, and feel. Okay? I want you to evolve. You don't have to necessarily change. Okay? I'm not going to make you change. That's a lot of work. But I want you to understand that change is necessary, that growth is a part of the process, that we're not here just to sit and do the same thing and be mechanical animals. We are here to be a machine and to continue to churn and burn. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being so open, honest, and riveting. Brains, go back and rewind, share, like, love, everything here. We giving it to you. If you didn't understand, you understand now. Because what? You're on the edge. And there is where we color in all the white spaces. Thank you, Brains. I love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We'll talk again real soon.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
See you. Thank you.